Please get your Bibles and turn them to John chapter 14. And we will read verses 15 through 31. And afterwards, we will read Lord's Day 20. So first of all, let's read John chapter 14. Verse 15. Jesus is speaking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave to you or with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. Now let's read Lord's Day 20. I will read the question and then please respond with the answer. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Thank you. This morning we will continue our study of the Heidelberg Catechism, and we are now in Lord's Day 20, which is about Article 8 of the Apostles' Creed, namely, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Every Sunday around the globe, many people make this statement, "I believe in the Holy Spirit. I sometimes wonder, though, if they truly believe in the Holy Spirit. Perhaps the only reason why they say that they believe in the Holy Spirit is because of their tradition to read or recite the Apostles' Creed every Sunday, and part of that creed is the statement that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. How about you? Do you really believe in the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit anyway? Well, today, with God's help, we will study the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in light of our passage from the book of John, John chapter 14. And here I will give you three basic truths about the Holy Spirit. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. As Christians, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, that there is only one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's read verses 15, 16, and 17, where we meet all the three persons of the Trinity. John chapter 14, verse 15. So Jesus is speaking here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. So now you have the Father. So you have Jesus Christ, you have the Father, and He, referring to the Father, will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. There you have the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, we have all the three persons of the Trinity. Jesus, the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And keep this in mind that each person of the Trinity is divine. As we read in Lord's Day 20, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? Answer, the first answer, He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. So the Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But it doesn't mean that there are three gods. There is only one God, and this one true God has three persons. And each person of the Trinity is distinct. That is to say, the Father is not the Son, nor is He the Holy Spirit. The Son is not the Father, nor is He the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, nor is He the Son. The three persons of the Trinity are distinct. Moreover, each person has a unique role in the work of redemption. For example, it was God the Father who sent His one and only Son to us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And it was the Son who died on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. And it was the Holy Spirit who applied the redemptive work of Christ to us. There you see that even in the context of redemptive work, all the three persons of the Trinity are working together. And they have unique roles. You know, sometimes we confuse the three persons of the Trinity. For instance, when we pray to God, we first, let's say, address the Father. And then as we talk to God the Father in our prayer, we start thanking Him for dying for us. Now, God the Father did not die for us. It was His Son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes too, we maybe unconsciously, we start referring to the Holy Spirit as the one who died on the cross. No, it was not the Holy Spirit who died on the cross. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. The Father doesn't have a body. Only Jesus Christ has a body. Only Jesus died on the cross. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, second truth about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us from God. A gift to us believers. Look at verses 16 and 17 again. Verse 16 says, "And I will ask the Father," future tense. So, context, Jesus is telling his disciples that he will ask his Father. "And he," referring to God the Father, will give the disciples another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So Jesus says to his disciples, I ask my Father, and my Father is going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that prayer was answered when Jesus ascended into heaven. That's why, I don't know if you recall, in Lord's Day 18, I believe, one of the benefits of Christ's ascension into heaven is that He sends His Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. If Jesus had not descended into heaven, then the Holy Spirit would not be given to us. And so one of the blessings of Jesus ascending into heaven is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so here you see that all the three persons of the Trinity have different roles. Jesus is the asker. The Father is the giver. And the Holy Spirit is the gift. Don't confuse those functions. So Jesus is the asker, the Father is the giver, and the Holy Spirit is the gift. He is the gift, wonderful gift, given to us believers. Someone has said, culture is good, genius is brilliant, civilization is a blessing, education is a great privilege, but we may be educated rascals. The thing that we need most of all is the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need. The precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon once made a remark. "If we do not have the Spirit of God, it were better to shut the churches, to nail up the doors, to put a black cross on them and say, 'God, have mercy on us.' If you ministers have not the Spirit of God, you had better not preach, and you people had better stay at home." I think I speak not too strongly when I say that a church in the land without the Spirit of God is rather a curse than a blessing. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit, without whom all our works are only worthy of condemnation. I don't know if we realize how serious it is to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't have this gift, then your life is nothing here on earth. Question for us. Do you have the presence of the Holy Spirit? Have you received Him as a gift from God through Christ? Is He yours? Is He dwelling with you? Does He live in you? Is your body His temple? Third, truth about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And that's obvious here in verse 14. Look at verse 14, please. He will give you another helper. Here, the Holy Spirit is referred to as another helper. Now, you might ask, why another helper? Well, the expression another helper means another helper of the same kind as the first. And this expression implies that Jesus was the first helper and that the Holy Spirit would be the same kind of helper. Remember the context of our passage. Here Jesus announces His ascension. He says in the last part of verse 12, I am going to the Father. Verse 28, I am going away. And as you can imagine, upon hearing this, His disciples become troubled and worried and afraid. Their master, their teacher, their Lord, their helper is going away. So it is a normal reaction on the part of the disciples of Jesus Christ to feel troubled, discouraged. What now? You're going to leave us, Jesus? And Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. You will not be alone. I ask my Father to give you the Holy Spirit who will take my place once I ascend into heaven. And I will come to you through the Holy Spirit. In other words, I will be present with you. Not physically or bodily because I'm going to ascend into heaven. But spiritually, I will remain with you through the Holy Spirit. He will be another helper to you. You see, another helper, implying that Jesus is the first helper and that the Holy Spirit will be the same kind of helper to His disciples. And what a comfort it is for us too, believers in Christ. Yes, right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of His Father in heaven. We don't see Him physically because His body is in heaven. But although He is there, He is present with us through His Spirit. He continues to help us through His Spirit. We have another helper. And therefore, we are not like orphans. We are not fatherless in that sense or comfortless. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, you might ask, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Good question. Well, in two ways, based on our text. First, by being our comforter. By being our comforter. Actually, in Greek, the word helper here is parakletos also. Same word that appears in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the text that I read for our assurance of pardon. Again, that shows that same. Jesus is our advocate and so is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our paraclete, and so is the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the first paraclete, and then the Holy Spirit, another paraclete, another advocate, another helper, another comforter. And in the original, the word parakletos literally means one called to be beside another. Someone who has been called to sit right next to you or to be beside you. That's the idea. Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you. To be with you. In order to help you and comfort you in time of difficulty. I remember in our first year of marriage, whenever my wife shared her problem with me, I would right away give my solution to her problem. When in fact, sometimes she just wanted me to listen to her. And sometimes she would say to me, Love, I just want you to listen to me. I just want you to be by my side, to be my paraclete, to be my comforter. Just hold my hand and listen to me. I don't want to hear your solution right now. Just listen to me. Just be with me. And I remember, for me, I think as a man, maybe if we are honest men, right? Our instinct is that we hear a problem, here's the solution. Let's solve it. That's how we work. That's how we think. But women don't think that way. And so I would say, okay, sure. You just want me to listen to you? Okay, well, just sit down. Okay, I'll hold your head. I'll hug you. Okay. And then afterwards, she would say to me, thank you so much, dear, for helping me. In my mind, I said, I didn't really help you. In fact, you didn't want to hear my solution. I didn't say that just in my mind. But for her, she was helped already. Well, because of my presence, I functioned as a paraclete to her. Just being beside her was already a help to her, a comfort to her. Well, Jesus says, my disciples, and by extension to all of us believers, let not your hearts be troubled. I know right now you are going through a lot of trials in your life. I know you are being afflicted right now. I know you are suffering right now. But Jesus is saying to us this morning, you have another helper. Yes, you don't see me physically right now. I cannot be with you right now, bodily. But you have the Holy Spirit, who is beside you, helping you. He listens to you. Do you talk to Him anyway? I think one of the, I can put it this way. I think the Holy Spirit is the most neglected person of the Trinity. I ask you with love, when was the last time you talked to the Holy Spirit in prayer? Imagine, let's say, wife, your husband is here all the time with you, and you don't talk to him. Imagine that. Because Jesus says, He will be with you forever. I would be hurt if my wife would not talk to me, like we're sitting, or we're sleeping together, or we're eating together, and she simply ignores me, maybe unconsciously, but that's hurtful. Let's translate that to the person of the Holy Spirit. Do we actually commune with Him? We recite every Sunday, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But do we really mean it? Or maybe we just do it because it's part of our tradition. Or I have no other option because in this church everyone recites it every Sunday. Might as well do it. Let us not waste this gift. That gift is not meant to be a decoration. You know, I understand we receive gifts that we don't use on a daily basis. Maybe last Christmas you received something from your loved one, a wonderful gift, but maybe you only use it twice a year. But the Holy Spirit is not like that gift. He has been given to us by Heavenly Father through Christ. Let's use that gift for our spiritual growth. And yet how sad it is. Yeah, we don't even talk to the Holy Spirit. We don't ask Him to help us. Maybe that's why you don't get help. You complain that you are in trouble. When in fact, you have this helper, advocate, paraclete. Use His presence. Maybe to help our children relate to this, the importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Now, children, maybe when there is a, let's say, thunderstorm or lightning, maybe in the middle of the night, you get scared, right? Okay, she said yes. You get scared. What do? You get out of your bed and you come into your mommy's or daddy's room. Why do you do that? Because you want their presence and you find comfort in their presence. And sometimes you say, Mommy, Daddy, can you stay with us? Can you stay with me until the storm passes by? And we parents, even if like, come on, I mean, 2 a.m., like, oh, love, you go. No, dear, you go. That scenario. And, okay, let's go. You know, out of love, that fatherly care. Okay, I know. It's scary. Okay, let's... Or sometimes what you do, you just want to assure them, okay, I'm going to sleep here, okay? Daddy will be here, okay? Okay, Daddy will... But for them, your presence, the presence of their parent is already a big help. You're not really helping them. Now we have the very presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we imagine, I don't know if we understand how blessed we are. We are not orphans, Jesus says. We are not comfortless. Do we use the presence of the Holy Spirit? You are never alone. Even if you are alone, you always have the Holy Spirit. When you are inside the operating room by yourself, when the doctor left you or nurse left you, you are not alone. You have the Holy Spirit there helping you. So how does the Holy Spirit help us? By being our comforter. By being with us. By being beside us. Through His presence. But secondly, the Holy Spirit helps us by being our advocate. In ancient world, the word paraclete, or translated helper in our Bible here, that word is used to refer to a person who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. One writer explains that in ancient world, the paracletes or advocates stood by their friends, or what we would call today clients, in the court, giving them advice and speaking in their behalf when it was necessary. Note two important works of a paraclete or an advocate here. First, a paraclete gives advice. We have the Holy Spirit. He is our advisor. Are you about to make a big decision in your life? Consult the Holy Spirit. He will give you advice. He will give you wisdom. He will give you counsel. John chapter 14 verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. By nature, we are forgetful. We forget things about God. I challenge you, do you still recall what we studied, let's say 3 months ago? Can you still remember the message that maybe Pastor Johnson and I delivered 4 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago? We forget. And therefore, we need the assistance of the Holy Spirit every day. You read the Bible in the morning for your personal devotion. What happens? Throughout the day, you forget about it. Yeah, what did I read this morning? Yeah, I could not recall it. Come to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him, help me to recall that which I have learned from Your Word. You know, as a preacher, many times, and I experienced this, you know, I would prepare throughout the week, and then I stand here, or maybe you are singing, we are singing, and then a precious thought would just enter my mind. I said, wow, I like that. It's not in my manuscript. And when that happens, that's why I have a pen. I want to write it down right away, lest I forget it. It's a blessing from the Holy Spirit. He continues to speak to us through His Word. He is our great advisor. And then second, a paraclete also speaks in our behalf. So it's like someone who is standing in a court on behalf of the client. That's why the Holy Spirit is also our intercessor. For example, let me read the Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Now, usually, when we think of the work of intercession, we think of Jesus Christ. That's true. Jesus is our intercessor. He intercedes on our behalf. But the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. He's another intercessor. He's another helper. Remember that. He's another advocate. The only difference is Jesus does that work while He is in heaven. The Holy Spirit does it while He is here, while He is in us. How often, even in my own prayer life, when I was really overwhelmed with my trial and I didn't even know how to begin to pray. I didn't know what to say. And so I would simply say, Lord, please help me to pray. And surprisingly, words came out of my mouth. And those words, I believe, were words given to me by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was helping me in my weakness. It's not easy to preach the Word of God. It's not easy to teach the Word of God if you are a Sunday school teacher. Who helps us? The Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 11, Jesus says to His disciples, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be worried, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. When you are in front of a persecutor and you don't know what to say, don't be worried. The Holy Spirit will give you words to say, to speak. He will help you. He will speak on your behalf. And again, in my personal experience too, in evangelism, I remember debating with this intellectual atheist. He asked me many hard questions. And I confess, as I was listening to his questions, I said, oh boy, what should I say? you know, you wanted to give an answer to his question. Although, of course, I don't claim that I know all the answers, but somehow you want to show that the Bible has an answer to his question. And so I was praying silently, Lord, please help me as I dialogue with this atheist. And I was impressed by myself, quote unquote. Please don't think about like pride. No, by that I meant like, Lord, where did I get those answers? The only explanation is the Holy Spirit helped me. That's precisely what Jesus says to his disciples here. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. What you ought to say. Yes, we don't want to get out of our comfort zone as Christians. When we spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want to evangelize. We have many worries. What if that person or this person will not listen to me? Forget about that. We have the Holy Spirit. You don't go there in the mission field by yourself. We have this paraclete. Use him. He's a gift from the Lord. And what's nice is that Jesus says, this helper will be our permanent helper because he will be with us forever. Imagine that. Forever. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee of our future glorification in Jesus Christ. Therefore, really the ultimate goal of the Holy Spirit in helping us is to conform us to the image of His of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing to us. Sanctification, Christ-likeness. He is molding us into the people that God wants us to be. The Holy Spirit wants us to be like Jesus Christ. And so, may it be our prayer that He might fill us with His holy presence. That we might be filled with the holy presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit is dwelling with us. But there is a difference between filling and dwelling. If you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Your body is His temple. He dwells with you. He is in you, as we read here. But it doesn't mean that you are filled by the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Because if you live in sin, if there is sin in you, you grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled so that you will be so filled with His presence that sin will have no place in you. You are so filled with the Holy Spirit that sin will not be attracted to you anymore. When Satan comes to you to offer something, you will say, I'm sorry, there's no place in my life for that kind of sin. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember D.L. Moody, and I will close with this. He was speaking to a large audience, and he held up a glass and asked, how can I get the air out of this glass? One man shouted, suck it out with a pump. Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass. After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, pick up a pitcher of water and fill the glass. There, he said, all the air is now removed. He then went on to explain that victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by merely sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit implies freedom for the Holy Spirit to occupy every part of our lives, guiding and controlling us. Or are we allowing our lives to be filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I am not asking you if the Holy Spirit is dwelling with you, because if you are a believer, He is dwelling with you. My question is, are you filled with His Holy Spirit? So filled that you leave this place so satisfied that you say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Oh Lord, indeed, oh, fill us with the presence of your Spirit. Oh, our blessed Holy Spirit, forgive us that in many ways we have grieved you. We have neglected you. We have not communed with you as we should. You are a precious gift given to us, but we don't use you. We don't fellowship with you. Forgive us. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.